today comes from the book of Galatians, which you will find on page 948 in your pew Bibles. See, if you would like to follow along, you can just open that up. Listen for what the word of the Lord is saying to you today. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Jumping down to verse 4. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourself off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Skipping down to 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the word of the Lord. Will you please pray with me? Great God, may the words that come from my mouth and the words that we all hear be used by you through the Holy Spirit. May our words be acceptable in your sight. O God, my strength and redeemer. Amen. In Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, there is an ordinance about disturbing religious worship and lawful assemblies. Now, this ordinance bans something which I know goes on here. It bans whispering in church. Ordinance number 198-23 reads, "No person shall disrupt or disturb any congregation or assembly met for religious worship by noise, talking, or whispering, or by rude or indecent behavior, or by profane language within their place of worship, or within 300 feet of the place of worship." Aren't you glad we are not in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and instead we're here in Grand Rapids, Michigan? Now, it must be part of our human nature to make laws. There are all sorts of goofy things that have been put on those law books. If you do a search on the internet, you'll find them. We love to tell people that they can't tie their giraffe to the telephone pole, or they can't plow their field with an elephant. In Michigan at one point, it was even illegal for a woman to cut her hair without her husband's permission. Now, the church also is a place with laws. In the Reformed Church of America, we have a book of church order, and that requires us to use specific words when we celebrate communion. And it tells us the exact procedure with the exact oaths by which we can make someone a minister of word and sacrament. There is something very comforting about having a law. When what you are supposed to do is very clearly defined, with definite punishments for breaking the law and clear paths for correct behavior, when everyone knows what is expected of them, no one gets preferential treatment if we all abide by the same rules. Good behavior follows the law. Bad behavior breaks the law. There's no gray areas. It's all black and white. It's very easy to understand what you are supposed to do and when you are supposed to do it. So in that same way, with all of our laws here in the United States, we have something in common with the children of Israel. While we have volumes and volumes of laws of the land, the Hebrews had the book of Leviticus. And this book, which is passed down to us, which you find in your Bibles, there are listed of hundreds and hundreds of laws by which the people of Israel could remain pure and holy in God's sight. Now, these are the laws by which the Hebrew people lived and died. Their Levitical laws structured their very lives. It structured how they could marry, what to do when they had children, how to worship, how to live, how to bury people. It affected what they could eat, what they could wear, and even whom they were allowed to touch. These laws permeated every aspect of their lives. They were part of their cultural identity. And following this Levitical law was not only expected, it was absolutely unthinkable for a God-fearing follower of Yahweh to not follow these Levitical laws. Thus, with all of that background, we should not be surprised at all that in the New Testament, the early Christians would struggle with how they should be. With some people in the church in Galatia saying that Christians must still follow all those Levitical laws and the requirement of circumcision, and the others who said, oh no, that's no longer necessary. You see, with the coming of Christ, there was now a new way of being. The old way of existing by living each day in the law had passed away. All things had now become new in Christ. In fact, through the work of Christ, the whole of the law, the whole of the book of Leviticus, could be summed up in just two precepts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbors as yourself. Now let's just pause for a minute and think about this change. Now, a person can follow a law to the very letter their whole lives and never ever engage their hearts. I'm reminded of that character, Inspector Javert from Les Miserables. In the movie adaptation of this Victor Hugo book, Javert is presented as an absolutely joyless character, a man who lived his life trying to do absolutely everything right. As he is about to grimly commit suicide by throwing himself in the river, he flatly intones, I have tried to live my whole life without breaking a single rule. You can live your whole life without breaking a single rule and miss out on all of the joy and all of the meaning in life. You can be so concerned with doing the right thing that you can miss having right relationships. But after Christ came, the laws of the land with this new covenant, they got a whole lot messier, much less black and white, a lot more gray. The law now also required that you engage your heart in what you do instead of just your actions. Now, this is a really hard thing to do. Think back for a minute to when you were a kid. Do you remember how much you hated to clean up your room? Do you remember that? Under the old way of the law, if we apply this to a kid cleaning up their room, a child had to clean up the room because it was the law, they just had to do it. And that was bad enough. But now, under the new covenant, the kid had to clean their room because they loved their parents and wanted to please them. That's a whole nother layer of expectation. The same thing goes for us. Instead of simply refraining from murdering and lying and stealing and treating other people badly, now our hearts have to be engaged. We are not to kill because we are to love others as much as we love ourselves. There are still Christians who have trouble with this. They are still slaves to the law. Some people who obey the rules find it very difficult to engage their hearts and to love their neighbors. It's much, much easier to just find your neighbors on the right or the wrong side of the law and write them off. And these are the folks who do that. They tend to simply follow the laws, and they tend not to grow in their faith. Outwardly, they're doing the right things, but their hearts are not in it. They have not committed themselves to love each other in Christian relationships, and as such, they don't grow. So while you have these people who have difficulty with letting go of the comfortable old way of having and following a law while not engaging their hearts, there are also some other people. These are the people who are so busy enacting their freedom from the law that they also miss the point. Now, maybe you know some of these people. They say, yes, they are Christians. They can tell you the name of the church where they are members, but they don't seem to be very involved with it. It doesn't seem to touch their lives. Sure, they go to church sometimes on occasion, when they're in town, when they're not busy, when there's nothing else going on. These are maybe the kind of folks who turn down every request for volunteering in a church. The people that never seem to take their turn on a committee. For these people, Christianity seems to be all about what they get out of it for themselves. On the 4th of July, when I was sitting and watching the Granville Parade with my family, a big semi-truck came down Wilson Avenue, and it was loaded with a church band, and they were singing and playing their guitars. And as the praise songs floated on by, one woman who was sitting near me commented to her friend, "Hey, that's where I want to go to church. Did you see that guitar player? He was really cute. I'd like to meet him." And while I hope that she was only kidding, my guess is that she wasn't. Giving your life to Christ and serving God is not about what you will get. It isn't about going to church, the church with the best-looking pastors and the cutest musicians. Giving your life to Christ is about what you will joyfully give. The lesson we are to take from the Galatians passage today is a lesson about how we are to live as Christians. In Galatians 5:6, we are instructed that the only thing that matters is faith working through love. Let me say that again. The only thing that matters is faith working through love. But wait a minute, Pastor Karen, you say, that sounds a little bit like salvation by works. We know we're not saved by works, but only by the grace of God. And yes, that is indeed the truth. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation, which is a free gift from God. But there is something we can do to grow our faith and to grow stronger in the Spirit of Christ that abides in us. In our first reading today in Romans 8, Paul declares that it was the work of Christ to set us free from the law of sin and death. We, the people of Christ, filled with the Spirit of Christ, can grow our faith through our love of God and our neighbors. Now, some time ago when I was doing some Bible study, I came across this verse in Galatians 5. The verse that says the only thing that matters is faith working through love. And as I was sitting there reading it, I was really struck by it. It seemed to be speaking directly to where I was that day. So taking that as a clue that I needed to pay attention, I stopped the project that I was working on, and I instead printed out that phrase in big purple letters on a sheet of paper. And I put that right in the front of my worship folder. And after I did that, I just sat with it for a couple of minutes and let it work on me. And now when I was looking for a sermon topic, it came back. I, like many of you, can get caught up in the details of things. There are so many aspects to our lives and the various projects that we're involved in that sometimes I can lose sight of the fact that the details don't matter as much as growing loving relationships with everyone in this congregation and the community. By learning to love others no matter what their idiosyncrasies, I am growing my faith and drawing closer to God. Our faith is not about blindly following the laws of the church, worrying about the details, and not engaging our hearts with our neighbors. Our faith can only grow if we serve one another in love. Now, all of us here at Central Reformed Church this week, we were deeply saddened by the sudden death of one of our long-serving members, Jim Carson. And so today I have a Jim story to tell you. On my very first day in the office at Central Reformed Church, I was standing there unpacking my library with boxes of books and all my things piled up all around me, furniture all askew, and Jim knocked on my door. He introduced himself, sat down, and proceeded to tell me exactly what he was planning on doing for his Bible study this year. He had the curriculum all laid out, and he told me exactly what he was going to do, and I said, "Hey, that sounds great." And that, "Yeah, go ahead and do that." And he didn't stay long, but he thanked me and left and proceeded to organize his Bible study group, which was the ministry to which he felt most called. And I was left standing there after Jim left, and I was wondering to myself, who was that? What kind of person walks into the pastor's office with their curriculum all laid out and says, "This is what I want to do"? In the months that followed, I got my answer. In getting to know Jim, I found out that he was a servant of Christ. When asked to volunteer, he almost always said yes. And even though he wasn't young anymore, he was a group leader for Vacation Bible School last summer with the young kids in the courtyard. And just last Sunday, he was a greeter, and he stood by the doors and welcomed all of us to worship. Now, while I didn't always agree with everything that Jim did and the way that he did it, Jim was a great inspiration to all of us and to me. He was one of those people who got it. He understood what it meant to serve each other and to love your neighbor as yourself. In conclusion, let me inspire you with a brief quote from Abraham Lincoln. "By serving others and putting others' needs before oneself, only then can anyone truly impact the world with change." As Christians, we're not called to be the police officers of the world, creating laws, enforcing them when they are broken, and never engaging our hearts in each other's lives. We have been set free from slavery to such laws. And we are not, even in our freedom from the law, to live out our lives out of our own self-interest, our own personal needs, our own personal wants and desires. When we love God with all of our strength, all of our heart, all of our mind, when we love our neighbors as ourselves, when we act like servants of love to each other in every way, it is then that we are truly acting as the Christians that God called us to be. Christians that are growing in faith and in truth. Christians with the power of love who will change ourselves and who will ultimately change the world. Amen. If you will take your bulletins, there you will find a response to the sermon. And I ask that you stand, please. "Whence knowest thou thy misery? What does the law of God require of us? Christ teaches us that briefly, thou shalt love the Lord